Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, good morning. Good morning. A happy Monday, everybody. Another football season is in the books to the Philadelphia Eagles. Good night. Dog walked the Chiefs for 60 minutes.
I'm sad. Football's over. I didn't realize that until you just said it, Kyle.
Yeah, man. Football's season's in the books. There's no games after the Super Bowl. Eagles 40, Chiefs 22. We will talk all about that. The Kings got a win this weekend. We will dive into that as well. And they play a game tonight. We will also get into that in these next couple of hours. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are the Insiders, and we're rocking with you until noon. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And we're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Thanks, everybody, listening on the radio, everybody watching on YouTube and Twitch, youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. If you're on the free Odyssey app, thank you. And if you're listening on the podcast at the James Hamm and Kyle Madsen Show, available wherever you get your podcasts, thanks to you as well. Man, so my thought all week going into the Super Bowl was like, the Eagles just have a better team. And there's a real chance that the Eagles just go dominate this game. Their defensive line is awesome. Their offensive line is very good. And we saw proof positive that when you can, and this is every quarterback, but even Patrick Mahomes is not immune to, quarterback under pressure is going to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, that's an adage of football that's it's never going to go away. But I threw all that out because I went, yeah, you know what? I don't think it's going to matter. It's Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs. They find answers for everything. And then they didn't have an answer.
Watching him struggle was something that was new. Like,
yeah.
He hasn't, like, you know, I track him very closely because he's my fantasy football quarterback. Right. He hasn't been good, really good, in like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
He gets by.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really crazy because a lot of the times that he makes mistakes are in crucial moments of games. Like he's thrown fourth quarter interceptions all season.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, wow, this isn't really going all that well. He doesn't really look like himself. You know, mm-hmm. he's lost so many receivers. And then you start to think, okay, can he just put it together? I mean, the offensive line was not good for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And the offensive line, whatever issue they have has to be addressed. But I didn't think that they had, they've got DeAndre Hopkins. They've got Juju. They've got, you know, plenty of white. They've got Worthy. They've got
mm-hmm.
plenty of offensive weapons without even getting into Kelsey, and the running backs were all healthy. Mm-hmm. I just thought, man, can't you do something else? And to me, it was Andy Reid got outcoached horribly,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion. But secondly, Mahomes just like wasn't in it. I mean, he missed linebackers cutting under or safeties,
mm-hmm.
you know, wide in, right in the middle of the play,
mm-hmm.
and just like the interceptions were egregious. Just overall, it just didn't look like the player that we've become accustomed to, and it really made for one of the worst Super Bowls to sit through that I've ever been around to watch.
Yeah, it was akin to that Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl where. Early second quarter, you just go, oh, this game's over.
Yeah.
We're done here.
Yeah, what do we do just, now?
Yeah, so that was, so I said all week when people go, who are you rooting for? because it, for 49ers fans, the Eagles have become this like little, I don't want to call them a rival, but it's like this mini rivalry, because the Niners and Eagles for the last few years have both been kind of jockeying for top seed in that in the NFC, or top spot in the NFC. They had the Eagles put a beat down on them in the NFC title game, and then the Niners come back the next year and put a beat down on them in Philly. And so I wasn't like, I don't like Nick Sirianni. I don't like the whole Big Dom thing. It's like, I can't root for the Eagles. But then obviously the Chiefs, they beat the Niners in the Super Bowl twice. They beat the Niners every time they played them in the last decade or whatever it is. I don't want to really root for the Chiefs. My body will tell me what I want on game day.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided as the game was going on, I just wanted, when the Eagles went up 17-0, I was like, okay, I'm going to pull for the Chiefs to make this interesting. But then watching the wheels just come off the Chiefs, there was something satisfying to it. Because how many Chiefs games have we watched since 2018 where you expect like, oh, okay, this is the game where their mistakes are going to come back to bite them. This is the one. And then... oh, other team fumbles, bad call goes the Chiefs' way, big play by Travis Kelce. All of a sudden, the Chiefs have won, and you're like, wait, they got outplayed.
They got dominated, man.
And then last night, that's the word. That was just a dominant performance by the Eagles, and I think sometimes, I think I get caught up in storylines, and I get caught up in the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs of it all. They've figured out a way. They've won 17 consecutive one-score games. I think this is going to be a close game. I think Philly's defense is going to keep them in it, but I think the Chiefs' defense is going to keep them in it as well. It's going to be a close game, and in a close game, the Chiefs are going to figure out a way to win it. When what happened was, and the Eagles are just awesome.
Yeah, they're
just the best team in the sport.
They were. You know, the one thing that I'm over is the whole officiating thing, right?
Oh, R.I.P. And put it in the ground.
Even in the beginning of the game, there was a bad call. The A.J. Brown catch on the sideline where they called offensive pass interference. That was suspect,
it was
man.
It was
super soft. In a game of that magnitude, you don't call that, right?
Letter of the law, it's probably a foul, but I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's a tough call.
And so I'm sitting there like, is this what we're going to hear? Are we going to hear this? But then it was like 10-0. You're like, okay, well, you know, the Eagles are still hanging tough. And the Chiefs just never built any momentum at all. They couldn't get anything going. And then the sack parade started happening. And you're like, okay, this game looks like it could be over.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes got happy feet, dude.
Yeah.
And that's just that no quarterback is immune to that. You get hit a few times. There's pressure early. You see him get into his spot in the pocket. And it's not stepping up and throwing around and creating a running lane for himself to extend the play. It was, I got to go backwards.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start getting to your spot, and instead of hitching up and navigating the pocket, and you start going backwards, you're cooked. You're done. I don't care if you're Patrick Mahomes, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, or otherwise. Yeah, that's not a way that's conducive to playing quality football. And you saw it with the Chiefs yesterday, man.
Yeah,
they just weren't good enough. They didn't have any answers.
And
the Eagles played outstanding on both sides of the ball.
I think a lot of it was just straight up they got outcoached. Like one play where Mahomes escapes out, and then he kind of stumbles. The guy grabs him's leg, and he kind of stumbles. And then his offensive lineman just grabs him and holds on to him. It's like, hey, bro, I'm Patrick Mahomes. Get off me. What are you doing? I can't do anything because you're holding on to me. But they back out. They show the whole play. You got the center or the left guard, one of the two. They just get in a stance, and they're sitting there looking all around. Mm-hmm. There's no one anywhere near them.
Yeah.
The world is rushing around Mahomes, and all these guys are standing around, and you're like, what are they doing? And that's when you realize, oh, they just got out-schemed. They got fully out-schemed.
Yeah, I think it was there was some of that. And then Jalen Carter might just be the best defensive tackle in the sport right now.
Yeah.
Josh Sweat was awesome yesterday. They didn't have anybody who could block him. Nolan Smith was awesome yesterday. Didn't have anybody who could block him. The entire Eagles defensive line, here's some stats. And I know this got said a lot, but in case you missed it. The Eagles, and this goes to the scheme thing you were talking about. The Eagles pressured Mahomes on more than half of his dropbacks, and they blitzed zero times. They sent an extra pass rusher zero times. And that's the thing. Like, that's that. No matter what version of football we're playing, whether it's the 1950s, the 1980s, or now, if you can get pressure with four and drop seven in coverage, you're going to have a really good day defensively.
Yep.
And the Eagles did that to perfection. Everything they were doing. The whole Sam Darnold seeing ghosts thing. Patrick Mahomes was seeing ghosts yesterday, man. Straight up.
No, I agree with
you. That's what happened.
And the difference between them and Minnesota is that Minnesota, like, they're blitz happy the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you call the blitz the right way, if you predict what they're going to do, it's game on. You can crush them on on a blitz, right?
Yep.
And what I saw yesterday was it felt like every single play, the Eagles knew exactly what was coming.
Yep.
The play late in the game where it was fourth down and fourth and five, and they had the little out route.
Mm-hmm.
The defensive back just jumped the route. He knew exactly what the play was. Like, the whole time, you're like, how do you know their playbook so in and out that this is what we're getting in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, really strange, especially for a team that's usually so incredibly creative. I thought the Chiefs were on their heels the entire game and had no idea what to do.
On their heels is the perfect way to describe it. They're going backwards the entire game. Mm-hmm. Some more stats. The Eagles had more points at halftime than the Chiefs had yards, 24-23. I mentioned the Eagles pressuring Mahomes on more than half of his dropbacks despite blitzing zero times. All six times a team has blitzed zero times in a Super Bowl, they've won, which is not a huge surprise because, again, getting home with four is a good way to play defense. And then it was the first game all year that a team didn't run a single play in opponent's territory in their first nine drives.
Wow.
The Chiefs did not cross midfield until their 10th drive. It's the first time that happened all year.
That's absolutely crazy.
I always say, like with the college football playoff, people complained because, oh, you're not getting the best. We're not going to get the best team. It's just going to be whoever the best team in the playoff was. It's like, yeah, that's the point of the playoffs, right? And that's why you have playoffs, to settle it on the field. This wasn't just the Eagles got hot for the playoffs and then the Chiefs played a bad game. The Eagles are just the best team. And I said it earlier this year, it wouldn't shock me at all if they just went in and beat the Lions. I thought they'd meet the Lions in the NFC title game, and they beat the Lions and go to the Super Bowl. But I didn't think that they would go be as dominant as they were. You drop a 50-burger in the NFC title game, and then you drop 40 in the Super Bowl to throttle a team going for a three-peat?
Yeah, it's wild, especially when you consider last season. They were so good. They were, 10-0 to start the season, whatever. And then the Niners just, like, knocked them off kilter, and then they were done.
Yeah.
Like, just completely toast. And then you see them recover, and, like, I think they figured out a lot about, like, the mental fortitude that it takes to win, to get there and to win. And to see them grow up is kind of interesting to watch, because I did not think that they were a great team until late in the season. They were a really good team, but, you know, there were some teams that were great this year, especially like the Lions. The Lions were great, and you were expecting them to, you know, keep going and represent.
Right.
But this is a team that ended up being the team that figured out how to be great, like, midway, and then, like, hey, we got it. We're clicking now. We know what it takes, and there they are.
Team with the best roster started playing their best football.
Yeah.
And that's how you create a buzzsaw. The thing I learned from the Super Bowl, the big takeaway for me, was as much as we talk quarterbacks, as much as we talk receivers, as much as we talk cornerbacks and all this stuff, the trenches matter more than anything in football, and they always will.
Yep.
There's no version of football where you can have a bad offensive line and go win a game or go win a Super Bowl.
I need you to tell Kyle Shanahan that.
Working on it.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, you lost an NFC championship game straight up to this Eagles team because you couldn't protect your quarterback.
Yeah.
And his arm got trashed.
And your two Super Bowl losses to the Chiefs both came down to you couldn't block Chris Jones.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
Yeah, you go cheap up front, especially in the middle, and they did it on both sides of the ball this year, which is why they didn't win.
Yes. It was a major factor. Injuries, special teams, all that. But when you're going to struggle in the trenches, you're going to struggle to have a good football team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Niners know they need to revamp their defensive line. My question is whether they look at this and go, man, because the Chiefs have put a patchwork offensive line together as well.
Mm-hmm.
They got to figure out left tackle. They drafted Kingsley Suamataya in the second round. He couldn't play. They had to move Joe Tooney, who's a really good guard. They had to move him to tackle. And they had to start an undrafted rookie at guard. Like they've been piecing it together too, man. And he got smoked.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that your playmakers, there's nothing that your quarterback is going to do if you cannot keep them upright. And there's no overcome. Patrick Mahomes couldn't overcome it. Tom Brady couldn't overcome it. It is a truth of football that will never change.
No, I agree 100%. And that's why you have to aggressively attack those weaknesses this offseason if you're the San Francisco 49ers.
Yep.
That's it.
That's what the entire offseason comes down to. Last thing, you mentioned the ref conspiracy earlier.
Mm-hmm.
RIP, man.
Yeah, it's dead.
It got him all the way there, but then couldn't. And I tweeted this. I said it's crazy that the refs worked so hard to get the Chiefs here and then bailed on him. And people are like, well, they were just getting beat so bad. The refs gonna like, no, they could have though. On any of those sacks, there could have been a roughing the passer. There could have been a phantom PI call, a little phantom defensive hold. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes got punched in the face and nothing.
Yeah,
like dude, it's almost like there's not this league wide conspiracy to make the Chiefs win. Hmm. Almost. I maybe it's weird. I also have never seen the country more united than people were against the new Fox scorebook. The game started, and my entire Twitter feed just blew up with people like, the score bug sucks. I hate this score bug. Why did they do this for the Super Bowl? What is this? Minimalism sucks. The score bug is, it takes up too much of the screen. Everyone hated it. I didn't see one person zag. It was like the Luka trade. I didn't see a single, not one person said about the Luka trade like, hey, you know what? I actually kind of like this deal for Dallas. Like, low-key, I like this for Dallas. Not one person. And I didn't see one person yesterday like, hey, love the new score bug. The entire country united against it. It was great. You got to move the play clock below the game clock.
Mm-hmm.
That's key. And then you got to make it smaller. That took up way too much of the screen for me.
It was weird.
I didn't like it. It was a thumbs down for me. Not the overall design, just... they need to make a couple of tweaks. Anyways, that's my game production take of the day. We'll continue to discuss in the Super Bowl, but we got to get into this Kings 123-118 victory over the New Orleans Pelicans on Saturday. It looked pretty good. And we'll look ahead to tonight's game against those Dallas Mavericks that I just mentioned. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders, and we are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it is Sacramento Sports Leader.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James is over there. I'm Kyle. Put a pin in the Super Bowl stuff for a moment to talk about your Sacramento Kings, who beat the New Orleans Pelicans 123-118. It was back on Saturday. I got to tell you, man. How far this team goes and what their ceiling is, I got to see more. I got to see what they look like when they get a chance to get a couple of practices in, and then we can really kind of reassess where they're at. But mm-hmm. the thing that has stuck out to me, even as they lost the first couple games of the Zach LaVine era, the Jonas Valanciunas addition stuck out as like a stark, like, oh, this is helpful. They're at least a little bit better because Jonas Valanciunas is on the team and playing.
Yeah, I think we probably underestimated just how much you needed a backup center.
Yeah, because we've just gone, oh, you just play Trey Lyles and then Alex Len gives you a couple minutes. But having a backup center who can play a close enough facsimile to what Domantas Sabonis is doing is really helpful. And then add in Jake LaRavia, who came in and did almost exactly what I thought he would do. And you said it today. Like, you looked at the box score and you go, oh, what, 7 points? Oh, he had 3 rebounds? Okay, no, he's good. But just the impact he makes on the court makes him seem a lot more productive than that.
Yeah, I mean, this is a huge human being. And, yep. Like, I know that Alex Len is really tall as well, but not like Jonas. I mean, actually, Alex is taller, but Jonas is just, like, a gigantic human being.
Girthy.
Yeah, and, like, he just takes up so much space, and, like, you can do so many different things. And what we're seeing is that it's not that he blocks a lot of shots. I mean, I think he had a couple of blocks in the last game, but it's that people don't want to go anywhere near the key when he's there. You've seen it already. I mean, he's leveled like 3 or 4 players in his first couple of games with the Kings. And when you're a Kings fan and you're going up against Valanciunas, you're like, oh no, I hate that guy. Because he does things on the court that are super, super physical, and even at some point, aggressive. And so as an opposing team, you're like, no, I don't like that guy. But then when he's on your team, you're like, oh, hell yeah. Did you see that guy bounce off him?
Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They have a legit 9-man rotation now that doesn't include Devin Carter, and it doesn't include Doug McDermott or Alex Len. And this is just, again, whether the Kings are going to be a playoff team or a play-in team or a bottom five, not a top 10 seed, I have no idea. I need to see more. The first couple of games didn't make me super optimistic, but you needed to get a win against the Pelicans, and they did. And one of my biggest complaints all year was you're 6-ish players deep.
Yeah, sometimes 7, and that's if Trey Lyles is playing well.
Yeah, so now they legit have 9 guys that when they're playing, you feel, okay, I feel pretty good about that. There's still some flaws on the roster for sure. They got to figure out that backup point guard situation. You can always use more size and athleticism for sure. But with Jake LaRavia, with Jonas Valanciunas, they have multiple players. With Keon Ellis and Trey Lyles, they have 4 players now. Then when they check in, my immediate thought isn't, uh-oh, like disaster time. And that's a big deal.
I think part of it to me is that Trey Lyles now can be your 8th or 9th best player as opposed to having to be your 6th or 7th best player. And so Trey, for whatever reason, is not super consistent. He's not consistent as a scorer. Some nights he's a great rebounder. Some nights he's not. Like, you're waiting. You know, again, sometimes he hits a 3, sometimes he doesn't. But all of a sudden, when he is 1 of 4 guys and not, like, basically 1 of 2 guys coming off the bench that can actually do anything, it just looks different. And having Jonas standing in the middle of the key means that all of a sudden, Trey doesn't have to take on the most difficult big man that you're going to go up against for the night. You know, if Sabonis gets in foul trouble, you're now not going to have to worry that the game is basically over because you've got Jonas up against Jokic.
Yep.
You know, or Jonas up against, name that gigantic center.
Sure.
That he's just going to get shot, you know, they're going to shoot right over the top of him. So at this point, like, it just feels like the 2 players that they're adding to that second unit just fit and help everyone else be better, and you're left with this wonder, like, why didn't you do this before? Because it wasn't like going out and getting a John Collins, it wasn't going and getting a Cam Johnson. It was literally, it feels like, 2 smaller things that are changing the complexity of your team. And their answer might be, well, straight up, like, well, we didn't have that $8 million to go get Jonas before.
Sure.
And okay, I get that, you know, but you probably should have done your work earlier. You know, they cleared up a lot of space when they traded Kevin Huerter. But at the same time, like, just like everything feels and looks better on the court when that second unit is out there. And they outscored their opponent for one of the few times I can remember this season.
It's so big time.
The second unit? Yeah.
The other couple of things that jumped out on Saturday. I would love to see this more often from Domantas Sabonis. Led the team with 18 shots. Led the team with 27 points. Not that he's going to take 18 shots a night. Not that he's going to score 27 a night. But that the ball is going through him more often.
Mm-hmm.
Malik Monk needs to have the ball in his hands. Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan need to have the ball in their hands. I understand that. But your most effective playmaker is your center. Your best playmaker is your center. And I think he only had like 3 assists. But if he's going to score 27 points on 18 shots, I don't mind that he only has 3 assists. But there's going to be nights where there's a really good defensive center, and you know what? He's going to stand there at the top of the key, and he's going to pick an offense or pick a defense apart with his passing. He's going to have 8, 9, 10 assists. Like that's one of the adjustments I would like to see Sacramento make is get the ball more often to Domas. Let the ball run through him while you're figuring out what you're doing with your 3 guys who need to have the ball in their hands at all times.
No, I totally get that. And to be honest with you, I think the game changed in the early third quarter when they got into the pick and roll action with Malik Monk and Domantas Sabonis. Up until that moment, they hadn't done it all that much. And the last couple of games, they have not been going to that. And I just don't get it. It's one of the most impactful, effective plays in the NBA is Monk to Sabonis on the pick and roll. And they desperately need to run that as much as possible while everything else is figuring itself out. Because I think that's the problem, is that you have a bunch of new pieces that like the ball in their hands. And that's fine, but that's not Kings basketball. Like, everyone needs to learn how to play Kings basketball. You don't need to necessarily learn how to integrate LaVine or integrate DeMar DeRozan into what you're doing. They have to learn how to play the game that you're supposed to be playing.
Yeah.
And so far this season, we haven't seen a lot of that. And then with the change with, you know, LaVine coming in and Fox going out, like, LaVine's going to take some time to figure it all out. I need less, like, standing there looking at your opponent and then pulling up for 27 footers. I need less of that. Everything needs to look like Kings basketball. It needs to flow, and it needs to have like a basic plan. And right now, these guys are still slowly starting to integrate themselves in. But it's why you get such a clunky first half where the Kings go down by 20 and just look bad. And again, like, DeMar DeRozan took one shot in the first half. Malik Monk, I think, was 0 for 4. You had those guys go 0 for 5 in the first half and have one combined point. The fact that you were able to recover and win that game is crazy when two of your top scorers are just non-existent completely in the first half.
Yeah. Couple other things. Keon Ellis had more minutes than DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, he was really good defensively. And then I think he ended up with like 13 points. I mean, there's
it's just interesting to me.
There's a lot of fans calling for him to start like you are, Kyle. And I get it. I just, like, I don't.
If he's going to just play 32 minutes a night, cool. That's the bigger deal. You can't be going, 24 minutes because we can't start him. Like, okay, then shorten the rotation for the starters and bring him in quicker. I don't know. But that game flipped when the second unit came in.
Oh, totally.
And that is not, have we said that at all at any point in the last 3 years?
No, I don't feel like it.
Hey, Kings bench, turn that game around.
Well, once Malik, I'm sure it happens once Malik while, went to the bench, went to the starting lineup. No, we haven't seen it.
Yeah.
But again, I think it plays more into a larger discussion about just how everyone is fitting into a natural position now. You know, you're able to pull Malik Monk in the first 6 minutes of a game and then bring him back with the second unit and have him run that second unit to perfection.
Yeah,
and that's a good thing. Yep. You know, and I think they're just getting started with chemistry and everything else. You know, learning how to play with Valanciunas, learning, you know, what's the right way to play for Jake LaRavia. Like, I think that they're just now, like, starting to, like see what potential they have.
Yeah.
And then the idea here is you have to survive the next 3 games, get to the All-Star break. And then once you get to the All-Star break, you have a couple of days to get some play sets, get some basics in. But until then, just go out there and play hard. Mm-hmm. And if you give energy and effort, you'll be just fine. And people will love you. Yep. And people will cheer for you. I mean, fans were booing in the first half loudly.
As they should. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Ugh.
Yeah, and then they cheered.
As they should. It was great.
And you know why they cheered?
Why'd they do that?
Because Jake LaRavia came in and was just like, oh my gosh, this dude can ball. Like the first play, he goes out, he defends somebody, steals a ball, goes down and lays it up, and all of a sudden there is energy in the building. You're like, wow, look at that.
He played 12 minutes. He was a plus nine. He took four shots, made three of them.
Mm-hmm.
7 points, two boards, two assists, a steal, two blocks. Come on, man.
He's fun. He's fun.
Just a good player. Just a quality bench guy.
I talked to him in the locker room, too, and he just, you know, he doesn't have social media. He said, you know, things didn't exactly go great in Memphis. He wasn't embraced all that well. And then instantly he walks in the building and gets like almost a standing ovation. People were so excited for him. He became a fan favorite in the first minute on the court.
Mm-hmm.
He had the bank three. You know, he had the steal. Mm-hmm. He had a couple of hustle plays.
Yep.
He had one rebound where I was like, oh, there's no way he's getting that. And he was all the way inside defending someone, then had to chase a ball down. Like, hey, look at him hustle. Like, it matters.
I want to continue to talk about Jake LaRavia, but I want to make sure we're giving stuff away right now. We're going to give you a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get via this giveaway. It's the one James is wearing today. Hey, we're wearing the right hoodie. Come on. Yeah, that's the new exclusive Insiders hoodie provided by our friends at Jiffy Lube. Super nice hoodies that you can only get in this contest or if you work here, but it's easier to win this contest than to work here, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So go to ESPN1320.com, find the Jiffy Lube contest page. It's front and center. You can't miss it. You're going to go to that contest page. And to enter to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie, you're going to enter the keyword depth, as in the Kings have more depth now. DEPTH, that is your Jiffy Lube keyword of the game. You'll enter to win a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an Insiders hoodie, an exclusive Insiders hoodie, courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube. Depth. All right. We're talking about Jake LaRavia and mm-hmm. hustle plays. The Kings don't need, like, you always want to have good players. And I know we've said this a million times, but now that we have a on-court evidence, I want to bring it back to the front of everyone's mind. Having good players is obviously, like, the best way to win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a hierarchy on an NBA roster where at some point you don't need another guy who can put the ball in the hoop. And that's all he does. You need players like Jake LaRavia and like Keon Ellis and like Jonas Valanciunas and like Trey Lyles that are just going to do the small things on the margins. You need a guy like Jonas Valanciunas who's going to come in 13 minutes, 14 minutes, 6 points, five boards, play some good defense, and that's what he's going to do. Jake LaRavia is going to come in. He's going to play 12 minutes. He's going to get you 7 points. He's going to have a couple of hustle plays. He's going to generate a couple extra possessions for you. That's winning basketball. Trey Lyles is going to do the same thing. He's going to take a charge. He's going to hit a three. He's going to help you play winning basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, and then we already know what Keon does. That's what the Kings have needed. Their top end talent to me has not been the problem. It's all of this. It's everything we've been talking about this entire game. They didn't have hardly anyone that effectively impacted games in those small areas that affect winning.
Yeah.
And again, this is not to say that they're going to win out. I don't even know if they'll make the playoffs. I have no idea what this team is. But the overall construction on paper is so much better than it was at really any point in the last three seasons for me.
No, I get it. Like, and it's not like Jake LaRavia is going out there and defending and shutting down Zion Williamson.
No.
Right? It's not like he's going out there and grabbing like 14 rebounds and he didn't hit right. like six threes in a game. But there is such a value into having glue guys who go out and multi-tool players mm-hmm. that can actually just hold their own and do the job.
Yep.
And it's something that good basketball teams typically have.
Yep.
And you have to have all different sizes of these guys. You've got to have your Keon Ellis version. You've got to have your Jake LaRavia version. And now you realize you really needed the Jonas Valanciunas version.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think one of the things with Jonas that I'm looking at is a player who's used to playing 30 plus minutes a night, who even for Washington was playing 22 minutes. Mm-hmm. He gets it that there's going to be very little opportunity for him to play more than like 12 to 15 minutes a night.
Mm-hmm.
And the minutes he will get are going to come when Domantas Sabonis is off the bench, is off the floor. Mm-hmm. And so he knows that his guy is really good.
Yep.
That Sabonis is going to play a ton. So in the 6 or 8 minutes that he's coming in, he's flying. He's running everywhere. He's trying to give as much as he has. He's leaving it all out there on the court because he knows, like, hey, like, I'm not going to be out here for 18, 20, 30 minutes. I'm mm-hmm. not going to be. And so for right now, I think that's the best way to do it. Go out there, use all your energy, show the fans what you've got. And I again, talk about a fan favorite. And it's not that Alex was bad, although he has not had a good season this year, or that some of the other players that the Kings have brought in are just bad players. It's just they didn't fit what you needed. And all of a sudden, when Domas picks up his fifth foul, everyone in the building is like, well, this game's over. You don't feel that way anymore.
Nope.
It's a very, very nice luxury to have.
Yep. Again, don't know what this means for the Kings and their playoff chances, but I like the direction of this current roster more than I did pre-trade deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So whether the front office sticks around will probably have more to do with postseason success than anything. And we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. We got to talk about Keegan Murray. Murray had himself a night. Looks like he's rounding into form a little bit. We'll talk about that. We'll have more Super Bowl stuff coming up for you. And we'll take a look ahead to the Kings game tonight against the Dallas Mavericks, all that coming up over the next... we changed our break schedule. That's right. I don't know. Let's go to break so I can stop talking.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Kings are back in action tonight down in Dallas. Apparently, they're just going to be on the road for the rest of the year.
That's what it feels like.
Four games. On the road for a bunch of games, home for one. On the road for a couple games, home for one.
Yeah, it's weird. 4 home games in the month of February.
Huh.
Really strange. I don't mind, to be
honest. Very odd. Very, very odd. The Kings win tonight. They secure the season series against the Dallas Mavericks.
That would be substantial.
That any time you can get a season series to secure a tiebreaker in the West right now, especially in the area of the standings the Kings are, you need it. The Kings since January 22nd. Here's some bad news.
Oh,
so they kick the hell out of the Warriors on January 22nd. Is that the closer one? Anyways, doesn't matter.
123-117.
Okay, that was the closer one. They beat the Warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Lost 2-1-1, lost 2-1-1, lost 2, they just won their last one.
Yeah, that's a trend.
Not a trend you want to keep rolling.
No.
But that's what they've been doing lately. The good news is they're playing a Mavs team tonight that just traded Luka Doncic. Anthony Davis made his debut against the Rockets, and it was they got the full AD in their very first game with him.
Mm.
First play of the game, he blocks Şengün, secures the ball, leads the break, long lead out pass for a dunk. And then he finished the game with 26, 16, and 7 with 3 blocks and a 116-105 win.
Yeah, you can stuff the stat sheet.
The problem is he got hurt in that game. It's an adductor strain. He's out at least a month. And, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
You feel for the Mavs, man.
Well, I mean, you traded for a guy who has a long, long list of injuries. Like, this guy has had injury after injury after injury. And, you know, like, someone told me that, like, 1 year when he was playing for New Orleans, like, he missed, like, 23 games on the season or something like that. But he had gone into the locker room before halftime 13 other times, never came back.
Golly, man.
Like, getting him on the floor and keeping him on the floor is one of the most difficult things. He's played 43 games right now, so, and I think that's out of a possible 52, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have a difficult time getting to the 65-game threshold.
Oh, for sure.
To be all-league. And, like, I think he had, we kind of looked, he had, like, 9 games that he can miss.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's aided by All-Star Week, but I do think not only does it mean that he will, he's not going to play in the All-Star game this weekend, which opens a roster spot, but also I think he's opening an All-NBA spot.
Mm-hmm.
The same way that Kawhi Leonard did and Joel Embiid and Luka Doncic. And it's going to be one of those seasons where there are more all-NBA spots open than there were before.
Yeah. I just feel bad for him, man. And I don't feel anything toward Nico Harrison because he's a disaster.
Yeah.
But it's like Anthony Davis very clearly wanted to do like double birds to the Lakers. He's walking around going, I'm here. And then to immediately get hurt in your first game. Like that's tough. But I'm guessing we're going to see a not as good version of the Dallas Mavericks tonight without Anthony Davis. No Anthony Davis, no Derek Lively.
Mm-hmm.
A front court that once looked super formidable or potentially formidable is now very, very thin. We'll get to starters for tonight. Looks like Malik Monk, Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Keegan Murray, and Domantas Sabonis for the Kings. For the Mavs, it'll be interesting. I've got Kyrie Irving, Klay Thompson, Max Christie, P.J. Washington, and Daniel Gafford.
Okay, and P.J., of course, is questionable.
Correct, which leads us to our injury report.
Yes.
We have Max Christie and P.J. Washington are both questionable.
Mm.
Max Christie's got a shoulder. P.J. Washington's got an ankle. Dante Exum, also questionable. Anthony Davis, Derek Lively, Caleb Martin, and Dwight Powell all out for Dallas. You're facing a shorthanded Dallas team that is still dealing with the after effects of the Luka Doncic trade.
Yep.
Now they're dealing with the after effects of the guy that they traded Luka Doncic for is now out a month after playing one game. This is a, you hear this in betting a lot, like spot. Like this is a tough spot for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Team A may be way better than Team B, but this is a tough spot for Team A. This is a tough spot for the Mavs.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for the Mavs. And like, look, the Mavs are 28-25. They're just 3 games ahead of the Kings on the in the stand. Well, they're a game and a half ahead of the Kings in the standings, but they've got 3 more wins than the Kings. This is a big game for Sacramento.
Huge.
You win this game, you go. You finish off the season series. You go up 2-0 with one game left. And again, you talked about it. The Kings have started to amass like a group of teams that they've already won season series against, and that's big. Or splits. That's big if you're a team in the middle, and that's where the Kings are now. If you're going to be a team fighting for the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Like any of those spots, you want to have as many tiebreakers as possible. And again, if you tie for the 6 with another team, but you have a in-season tiebreaker, you're in, they're out.
Yep.
And that's it.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah. So this is a big game for Sacramento. And to be honest with you, it doesn't matter who runs out there for the Mavs. You know, they've got talent. They still have Klay Thompson. They still have Kyrie Irving. They still have a bunch of guys who can put the ball in the basket, but they're wounded. And you have to take full advantage of that.
Yeah, you can't throw your jerseys on the court and win, but if you go play a good game, you're going to win this one.
Yeah.
And the other thing it does is all the things you just mentioned, it also kills some momentum for Dallas, who's beat Boston and Houston in back-to-back games.
Mm.
You can go get a win here. All of a sudden, they can sit around with a loss for a while. They know Anthony Davis is going to be out. They know they're banged up. They know they don't no longer have Luka. That could start a spiral. But if they win tonight, now all of a sudden they've got momentum on their side. They've won three in a row. They beat the Celtics and the Rockets, and then they beat the Kings who are chasing them in the standings. And oh my God, look at the mess. You got to go win this one tonight.
Yeah, if you're the Kings, this is a huge game. And again, the Kings have already gifted the NBA and the Western Conference like a bunch of wins mm-hmm. early in the season. They've yep. You know, they just like said, oh, we're going to lose against bad team XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
This is a moment where you have to start building something for the second half of the season. You know, again, the All-Star break is just around the corner, but the Kings can't let off the gas. They need to fly into the All-Star break. They don't need to back into the All-Star break.
Yep.
You know, it's not just this game. You've got a Dallas team, then you fly down to New Orleans and you have back-to-back games. This is that weird stretch where you play the Pelicans three games in four nights.
Mm-hmm.
The Pelicans aren't a good team. You just came back from a 20-point deficit and beat them. You don't need to build 20-point deficits to beat them, but at the same time, this is a moment where you got three games here stacked up right before the All-Star game against a wounded team and two bad team and a bad team twice. Yeah. And if you can't take full advantage of this and build something, you know, going into the break, then you're not going to have a good second half either.
Let's get to our matchup of the game. I've got two of them.
Okay.
The first one is I'm interested to see how the Kings match this up, but I'm guessing they'll go Keegan Murray on Kyrie Irving to start.
Probably.
Like I'd think so, because Klay Thompson's not a player at this point. I know he's 6'7",
mm-hmm.
but he's not a player at this point who's putting the ball on the deck and creating off the bounce.
No, I'm okay with Zach LaVine chasing him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Malik Monk, for that matter.
Yeah, mate, gosh.
It's going to be interesting. Like, if Max Christie plays, you know, what does that mean? And I think right. we are going to see a lot of Keon Ellis.
Max Christie's been good, by the way.
Yeah?
17.7 points, 5.7 boards, 3 assists per game since joining the Mavs.
Okay.
It's been really good.
No, I mean, he's getting a golden opportunity to mm-hmm. kind of stretch his legs and be the player that you'd hope that he might develop into. But, you know, again, he's shooting the lights out. Man, yeah. since joining them, 66.7% from three on four attempts per game.
Yeah. He's been really good.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other one, though. Keon against Max Christie.
Okay.
Because I think Keon has the requisite size to be impactful. And for me with the Kings tonight, and we'll get into keys to victory in a bit, but for me with the Kings tonight, a lot of it comes down to, can you just keep, don't let somebody go for 40.
Okay.
And that's where, and not that Max Christie's going to score 40, but that's what a lot of the Keegan versus Kyrie specifically, that's what that one comes down to for me is like, just throw Keegan on Kyrie, make sure he's not cooking, and it makes the Mavs a lot less effective.
Yeah, I would say, too, this is a game where a little bit like the Pelicans game where you did allow CJ to go for 31, you did allow Zion to go for 40, and then you allowed Trey Murphy to go for 20.
Mm-hmm.
You allowed all that to happen, and you still won. I mean, mm-hmm. three players scored 91 points against you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a little bit like Dallas. Dallas, after you get past, mm-hmm. you know, really Kyrie,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, well, who else is going to bust you up? What you can't have is a bunch of players go for 15.
Mm.
You got to start limiting who's out there who's gonna hurt you. Again, if Klay goes for 20 and Kyrie goes for 30, you can still win this game by 15.
Mm-hmm.
You just need to make sure that you're not letting other faucets drip. And,
sure.
and that's something that the Kings have done a little bit better job of lately. But, you know, it's like when you look at the way that the Pelicans played, they just couldn't get any momentum with anyone else.
Yep. All right, he's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Can the Kings make it two wins in a row tonight? We'll get into keys to victory coming up in a bit here on ESPN 1320. It is Sacramento sports leader.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.